We're joined now in the studio by Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library. We are talking books, as always. And during the break, we were enjoying references to Pee-wee's Playhouse, which I just pulled a reference to that episode out of my head.
To which I greet you with Mechalekahai Mechachani-ho.
Yes. Oh, I loved that show.
I was a huge fan of Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yes, that was the only Saturday morning show that mattered.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so many people were on that.
Mm-hmm. Lawrence
Fishburne, and the woman that was on Law & Order that played the captain.
No, the
African-American police captain.
Oh,
she was on
it
as the backup postman or
something. Oh, no, I can't remember.
There were a couple
people
on there. Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, that was such a great show. I think it's coming back, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think I heard something to that. Every 2 years you hear, Pee-wee's Playhouse is coming back. It's going to be, or maybe he's making a movie or a sequel to Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I saw Pee-wee Herman in the news for something or other, and I think it was good this time. So.
I was going to say, it's probably
not
shareable on the radio. I don't know. Yeah.
But that was a good show. That was a good show. So we're talking books.
Yeah, and we were also talking Bahamas. Because you're going there next week.
I get to go to the Bahamas. I'm really excited about that as part of the trip. We're going with the winner and some of the sponsors and some of the people around here are going.
And you're talking about all the fabulousness and everything great, and I'm just thinking, I wonder what books he's going to pack.
Ooh, that's a good question. What books am I going to pack? I have two books sitting on my desk right now. One of them is On Writing Well by William Zinsser, because it's actually turns out to be good bedtime reading. I've also got Fear and Trembling by Kierkegaard sitting on my desk.
I refuse to let you take either of those. Sitting on a beach reading Kierkegaard? Come on.
How about Middlesex?
Okay.
Yeah, that's the other one. I picked it up. I read the first chapter, and then I said it, and then I moved this past weekend.
I approve
weekend,
that one.
So okay, Middlesex. It is. I'll read that over the break. Kierkegaard's only 100 pages long. It's not that bad. You could read it 10 pages at a time.
Sorry. My look that I'm giving you is not translating on the radio, I'm sure. You're going to Bahamas and you're taking Kierkegaard.
Yes. Why not?
Okay. No,
for a variety of reasons, actually, yeah. but we're talking about Thanksgiving this week.
Yes, Thanksgiving.
And what we're thankful for. So I'm thankful for the fact that I remembered the prompt from last week. So I actually do have a couple of recommendations. But
right.
I will let you go first.
Okay, sure. So when I think about Thanksgiving with this prompt, I thought of three things, Fs. Mm. Family, football, and food.
Ooh,
right?
I like it. Yep.
To me, that is Thanksgiving.
I did not think of football, and now I'm upset because I'm from Michigan. It's the Lions who play every Thanksgiving.
That's right, and I'll be going up to Virginia. I'm a Hokie. At heart, Virginia Tech Hokie.
Okay.
So our big rivalry on Friday is Virginia Tech and UVA.
Right.
Go Hokies, boo Wahoo. So food, family, and football. Okay,
right,
so I'll do family first. I was trying to think of great families or not so great families in fiction.
Uh-huh.
And I read this book recently and really, really liked it. It's gotten kind of mixed response from readers, but it's a North Carolina author, Wilton Barnhart, and the book is Look Away, Look Away.
Okay.
It has a great cover. I couldn't bring the book because it was checked out, but it's got this sort of, she looks like a kind of 60s June Cleaver mom in pearls, and it's very stylized cover. But it is, I think it's kind of modern Southern Gothic. It's about a very dysfunctional, moneyed family, and it's a look at the high society of modern Charlotte.
Okay.
The first chapter, a lot of people react to, it's kind of a somewhat off-putting first chapter. It's actually set at Carolina and the fraternity sorority scene. And there's some kind of rough stuff there. But it goes on, and it turns out to be, it's just a satire, which I really like. It's very funny, very biting, and it just kind of leaves you wondering, how close to the bone is this?
Mm.
There's, the drunken writerly uncle. There's the real estate development gone bad. There's the semi-closeted lesbian sister, all of those kind of tropes of a dysfunctional family, but set in modern Charlotte.
Okay.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Right. Cool.
Look Away, Look Away by Wilton Barnhart.
Look Away, Look Away. All right. So
he's a professor at NC State now.
Okay, sorry. Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll check that out. I was thinking about family as well, and also not necessarily functional families, but just sort of the sort of books that make you appreciate family and the connections all the more. And I'm not sure, this may be a repeat recommendation, because I'm not sure I've ever never I've brought this one up yet, but if I have, then that's fine because it might be my favorite book ever, and it's worth recommending. I'll recommend it once a month. Fun Home by Alison Bechdel.
I almost brought that one.
Yes,
I almost had that one on my list.
We're gonna overlap at some point.
That was on there. I was like, I chose the Wilton Barnhart, but that's fabulous.
Isn't it such a great book?
It is.
There are books out there that I will lend to people, and I think I have lent Fun Home to more people than any other book combined. Every other book combined. There we go. It's a graphic novel. It's a nonfiction memoir, autobiographical, a story of Alison Bechdel, who is a lesbian cartoonist, comic artist, from sort of became popular in the 80s, but she's still well known today, and more well known now for this book than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about her experience in the 1970s. She goes to college. She sort of comes into her own as a lesbian. She comes out to her family, and her father comes out right back.
Right.
And that's kind of where it starts. Or what happens in the middle. It's told out of order. It is, I can't even describe how good this book is. Like, you can't describe this book in a way that really captures what
it
is.
And then she wrote a follow-up. She wrote
Are You My Mother?
Yep. Yes, about her mom, too.
Yeah, and for those of you who love literature, Are You My Mother is very much about, it's about her relationship with her mother, but it's also about psychiatry. Fun Home is about her relationship with her father, and it's also about literature. So every single chapter is, this is the Proust chapter. This is the Ulysses
chapter.
It's
brilliant stuff.
Oh, it's so good. I cannot think about the last page without tearing up.
And I love,
to be honest.
You know, graphic novels are something that I have to be in the mood for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But talking about tearing up at the last page, this is really not a good Thanksgiving family reference, but I'm just going to go with it. This is a couple years ago. I forget the title of it. It's the graphic novel about Jeffrey Dahmer. Is it My Friend Dahmer? My Friend Jeffrey?
I think it's My Friend Jeffrey, but I don't know.
My Friend Jeffrey. It's a graphic novel about Jeffrey Dahmer's youth. And you think, oh, I don't want to read that. And I happened to be in a bookstore. I think it was like a Barnes & Noble. And I basically read it while I was standing there, and it was so moving. Like, by the end of it, reading this novel about a serial killer's youth told in comic book form, I was tearing up in the bookstore. It was
amazing. It's My Friend Dahmer.
My Friend Dahmer.
Yeah.
So graphic novels, I don't go to them naturally, but whenever I read one, I love it. And they engage me, and they reach you on a really different level.
Yeah.
The other thing about... is it Alison Bechdel?
Yeah, that's her Alison first name. Bechdel.
Alison.
Yep.
She's now known, of course, for the Bechdel test.
Yes.
The test is if a work of art features two women talking
movies
about
movies specifically.
Movies,
but,
right?
But
I think it's
of
kind
art
of spanned out.
You can extend it. It's got there are two women
talking about something other than a man.
Talking to each other about
talking
something,
to each other about something other than a man.
Yeah, and this is such a. I mean, it's sad how few movies and works of art in general.
Once you turn on that filter, you think about that, and you start like applying that, it's rare that things pass
really
the Bechdel test, especially in the movies.
Yeah, and there are a few movies that pass the Bechdel test like just barely, like they've got their one scene like 30 minutes in just so they can check it off the list and then they move on, but yeah.
And I think also there's kind of a corollary that's been tacked onto it that it's like bonus points if the women are actually named.
Yes.
Like it can't just be two unnamed side characters
doing it.
So,
like talking about buying an apple at a cart when all of a sudden like the main character comes zipping through in his car or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, but there's now a musical of Fun Home, which debuted about a year ago in New York, and my friend and I actually drove to New York, and it was snowing in New Jersey like the whole way through. We drove to New York just to see this musical.
You're
and
a
it
road
is
trip
also
guy,
really
aren't
good.
You?
I am a
you
road
are.
Trip guy. Yeah,
love
yeah.
That.
I hadn't been to New York in a while. And it's like, oh, Fun Home, the musical is playing. And this is probably not going to make it to Broadway. But it's become popular. Like, it's playing in a bunch of places now. So, but that's also worth seeing. But the novel is so, 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 so good.
It is.
So good.
All right, family.
So all right, so that's family. What?
I'm going with food next
for
me.
Go for it.
So Thanksgiving food. I was thinking, do I talk about a cookbook? Mm-hmm. Do I talk about this and that? Mm-hmm. And actually, last weekend at the Art Center in Carrboro, the Friends of the Chapel Hill Carrboro and Orange County Libraries co-sponsored a remembrance of Maya Angelou. Mm-hmm. It was really nice. There were some poetry readings, there were artists, there was music. It was fantastic. And there were, they encouraged people in the audience to get up and read something. And most people read a poem. Mm-hmm. And this one young lady got up and read this short essay from a cookbook that Maya Angelou did, and it was delightful. So that is my recommendation. I had forgotten about this cookbook. It is a cookbook. She wrote a couple of cookbooks, I think, but it's called Hallelujah, the Welcome Table. And it's Maya Angelou. It is recipes and essays about her life, and it is delightful. Recipes are great. She's got a really good recipe for short ribs. You braise them in wine. A lot of her recipes have wine in them. But the essay that the gal read at the Maya Angelou event was about Maya Angelou had writer's block. And she wakes up in the middle of the night and she starts to cook. That's how she's going to work through it. And she starts making eclairs. And she makes like 400 eclairs, and she fills like the freezer with them, and her husband
Maya
gets up.
Maya Angelou's
is doing this. Yes, she was a great cook. And it's this great essay about writer's block and eclairs and her husband, and he gets tired of the eclairs and she works it out. There's a great one in there about she was friends with some of the Mitford family, and one of the Mitford gals just gets loaded. She's not tipsy. She is full on drunk. And she decides to roast a chicken, and it turns
like
out to be, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it turns out to be a really great chicken. So she, in the book, she has the recipe for the chicken, which is, like, I think, called Drunkard's Chicken. But she has this great essay about this woman and this event. And so it is a wonderful way to engage with Maya Angelou beyond her poetry.
Called?
It's called Hallelujah, the Welcome Table.
I like it.
It is delightful.
That's really cool. I there's certain people that you just sort of cannot picture them doing ordinary, everyday things. And Maya Angelou is one of those people for me. So it's just this sort of weird
cognitive
disconnect.
Yeah, she was a wonderful cook and hostess.
Yeah, yeah.
And she did so many things in her life. But she was apparently a great cook and hostess and entertainer. So
okay. All right, awesome. So speaking of food... I was trying to think of a food book, and honestly, the first one that comes to mind in terms of food, and this is a bit of a stretch, I read it in high school, but it's worth reading, and it's also a family, I mean, it's first and foremost, it's a family book, but the scene that I remember from it is the family sitting around the dining room table, and it's very much a story about a story about a woman's relationship with her mother, and the scene is the sitting around the dining room table, and the mother comes in with food, and it's sort of this family thing. The Joy Luck Club.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's got the family and the food.
It's got the family and the food. I'm sort of building up to my crowning thing, which is a book about everything that there is to be thankful for. I've got it. And I think I've got a specific one too. But the Joy Luck Club is really good. It's about food, sort of. It's really about family and this relationship between this woman and her mother. And it's an honest book. I think I. And it's one that is accessible to, like, I read it in high school. It was one of, and when my high school class read it, we actually legitimately enjoyed it. This was not one that we were sort of compelled to read. And,
which is unfortunate how rare that is.
Yes, yeah.
Right? Like,
and so many great novels, like The Scarlet Letter. Like, I think the vast majority of Americans think of The Scarlet Letter as like, oh, yeah, I had to read that slog in high school. But it's a classic, so. Yeah.
And it's right, and so it's that question of, do you engage kids with books that are going to interest them and still get at those skills, or are you going to force feed them what you should be reading? Because maybe if you read The Scarlet Letter 6 years later, you would love it.
Or if you just sort of found it in the library, like still to this day, so many of my favorite books are books that I read in high school on my own. Like, yep. I found Catch 22 on my own, Catch the Rim of Rye on my own. Great Gatsby is the one that I was assigned that still is probably on my top 10. But all
that's
the books that I was assigned.
In my top five.
Yeah.
And
it definitely was in my top five for the longest time.
I will say Catcher in the Rye is a book that I read in high school and just was blown away, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I read it like 10 years later.
And
I was like,
really hold up,
right? Grow
up.
Like,
yes.
Come on.
I just had that experience.
Rereading books can be dangerous.
Yes,
it can be tricky.
I had the sort of a bit of a step down from Catcher in the Rye, but I had a similar experience with Dan Brown. My dad and I both read Angels and Demons in the Da Vinci Code, and they're both really, really good to read once. And then my dad picked it up and he's like, I'm going to read this book again. I said, don't do it. Don't do it. You will regret it.
It was a fun ride.
You read it again.
Right?
And he was like, you were right. Oh. You were so right. But okay, Joy Luck Club is my second.
All right. So my last F was football.
All right.
I'm a football fan, kind of from a football family. So I first thought, okay, Friday Night Lights. Lots of people have seen the show, not read the book. That's a great book.
Good book, too.
And then one that I enjoyed that came out. So I'm going to actually recommend two.
Okay.
One
should
new
recommend,
one.
You
one
should
classic.
Recommend Friday Night Lights because that's by an F author, right? It's by Feinstein, isn't it?
No.
Oh, did I?
That's not. I don't think that's Feinstein.
Isn't it?
I don't think. Only we had access to the internet, Aaron.
Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure it's not. But it could be. I've been wrong before. Okay, so there's Friday Night Lights. But the two that I want to recommend, one is newer and is very apropos right now for what's going on in this university town. It's called The System, The Glory and Scandal of Big Time College Football. It came out in 2013. Mm-hmm. And it is investigative reporting about the whole college football deal, and I found it page turning, really, really good. I don't think it's too much kind of yellow journalism scandal mongering. I thought it was a pretty honest portrayal, but I don't know. But it was very readable, and it felt to me very well researched and very, very timely.
Okay,
so it's called The System. It's available right now at your local public library. Yeah. But the other one that I want to recommend is a classic.
Ding, 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 ding.
If you've never read George Plimpton.
Oh, yeah.
Paper Lion.
Yeah, Paper Lion.
Such a good book. Yep. So George Plimpton, and
I'm agreeing with you. I haven't read Paper Lion.
Oh,
I really should.
He's such a great writer. He was such a great writer.
Yeah.
And it sort of is that precursor to, we've talked about this before, that kind of shtick lit. A.J. Jacobs does a year of living biblically or there's a year of living Oprah-esque. But George Plimpton, George Plimpton spent time with the training camp for the Detroit Lions in 1963
back
or four.
Back when they were good. Yes.
Yeah. And it's just, and actually before that, I'd forgotten in an essay, he did the same thing with trying to be on the pitching crew for a baseball team. And then he took that and expanded it for Paper Lion.
Was it George Plimpton who wrote the Sid Finch article for Sports Illustrated in the
80s? I'm not sure.
I could be wrong about that. I am wrong about Friday Night Lights. It's if you do a Google search for Friday Night Lights, you get the movie, and then you get the book. H.G. Bissinger is the
Bissinger,
writer.
Bissinger,
so
that's it.
Right.
That's
yes.
right.
Yeah, I thought
so
it was John
that's
Feinstein.
My last recommendation.
Okay,
the System for more current and Paper Lion for a classic.
All right, I've got one more recommendation. This is about food. It's about family. It's about friendship. It's about kindness. It's about togetherness. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
The entire series.
Right.
But especially number four.
Tell me more.
It is.
Or is it just self-evident that I should know this?
It's self-evident, obviously. But this is the book that combines that's friendship. It's it's first love. This is the first love novel. This is the there's food in every novel, obviously. Obviously for people who've read it. There's family. This is the one book where Sirius Black is actually important.
I'm not a super Harry Potter nerd. I have to confess.
And I will say that as a super Harry Potter nerd, it's not just about friends, but for me, it's about friendship insofar as I went with my friends, like towards the end, especially like book six and book seven, like my friends and I would wait in line at Barnes & Noble for the midnight release. And we would stand in line at the movie theater for the midnight screening.
That's great.
of the books. And so many of my friends, especially in graduate school. Imagine a whole bunch of like political science graduate school nerds who are huge Harry Potter fans.
I love
That's
it.
Basically what
I
it
love
was.
It. I think it's fabulous.
Yeah. So that is my recommendation.
So the Goblet of Fire specifically.
Specifically the Goblet of Fire, but definitely read them all.
Okay.
Four is probably the best one, but opinions will differ.
Other Maybe that'll be my Thanksgiving week reading. Maybe that's what I'll take home.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. That will probably
Because I'm not taking Kierkegaard. I'm not doing it. Ain't going to happen, Aaron.
Goblet of Fire is like 7 times as long as Kierkegaard. I'll probably take you half the time there is.
Right.
But it's so good. Okay, awesome. So that's our Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Our Thanksgiving recommendations. And we will not be beating next week, but the week after that. So
yes.
We'll talk about it in 2 weeks.
I don't know.
It'll
a
be
lot
holiday
of time.
Season. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
We'll figure something out.
Okay.
All right. Susan Brown, Chapel Hill Public Library. Anything happening at the library that people should know about? We talked about the Friends sale.
Yes.
Which is
tomorrow
still coming
night,
up.
Actually, at 6 o'clock is the last event in our Civil Rights in Chapel Hill series. This one we couldn't group in October. We are at 6 o'clock. It's a professor from Duke. His name is Chafe. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Chafe, maybe? Chafe? Okay. Someone might call in and tell me how I'm pronouncing it wrong. Is coming. He's going to show clips of the documentary Freedom Riders, and he's going to be talking about the Freedom Rides and the journey of reconciliation of 1947 that actually made a stop in Chapel Hill.
Awesome.
And sort of bringing together this national event with this local event, and it's going to be great. 6 o'clock.
Tomorrow
and
night.
I think there's going to be snacks.
All right. Sounds good. Another thing to be thankful for.
Right.
Susan Brown, thank you so much for joining
Thanks,
us.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right.